Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today as, once again, we face the issues. I pray that day by day and week by week as we face the issues, that cumulatively it is a blessing and a benefit, an encouragement to you. I understand that many times we face issues that some folks are afraid to talk about. Some look at it that it is negative and we ought not to talk about it. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's the responsibility of every Christian to understand what is happening in the world and yet have a biblical worldview as to our response and approach to these issues that we're all faced with in the world in which we're living. As we face the issues, we need to do so based on the Word of God, not based on a denominational dogma, some political ideological bent, not based on your opinion or mine, but based on the authority of the Scripture. And the Scripture is truth. Without Scripture, we have no truth. It is the progressive revelation of God to man that we have the privilege of having in our hand called the Bible. And so as we look at the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And then Jesus gives us a full declaratory statement as to what is truth. He says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that is truth, nothing more and nothing less. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And if you don't believe that's the case, just look at Washington, what's taking place in the political arena in the Beltway of Washington with the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment, has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff, can answer all your questions about backup power equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Some will ask the question, how do I find that? Where is that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where you find the gigantic flag flowing, the American flag. I believe it's a 165-foot flagpole there, and the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flag. At the base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that we have all watched a circus in Washington, and we're going to talk about Hollywood versus Jesus, Hollywood versus Jesus. But before we get into the essence of what I'm wanting us to understand today, I want to have an elongated monologue dealing with the recent issue and the recent impeachment in Washington. I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, we've all witnessed what one writer called the murder of America. One writer called it the murder of America. But a president that was elected by 63 million people. Yes, our voters, the 63 million, we're part of that if you voted for President Trump. We're known as the deplorables. those of us that Peter Stroke spoke of as saying that he could go into Walmarts and smell the Trump voters in Walmarts. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats, the elitist in the CIA and the FBI under the Obama administration, yes, they have a disdain and an absolute animus toward Donald J. Trump. They impeached the president, and the vote included all the Democrats except for, I think it was two. Some said one, three, I think it was two. Two Democrats, and none of the House of Republicans in the House of Representatives voted for the impeachment. The two articles of impeachment were both bogus. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, Alan Dershowitz says the articles of impeachment don't meet constitutional standards. Let me just read you this brief article. Constitutional law expert and Harvard professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz harshly criticized the articles of impeachment against President Donald J. Trump, presented by the Democrats as unconstitutional and damaging the rule of law. Neither two articles, abuse of power or an obstruction of Congress, presented by the Democrats, satisfies the express constitutional criteria for impeachment, as both are not crimes or even mentioned in the Constitution. You know what I just said? Alan Dershowitz, a constitutional professional, and he is not a Republican. He is not a conservative. He's a liberal Democrat. But he says that both the articles of impeachment are not even mentioned in the Constitution. I've said that for weeks and weeks and weeks now. He further says in the article, this means that the Democrats are placing themselves above the Constitution, he wrote. Dershowitz argued that both articles of impeachment are so vague and open-ended that they could be applied in partisan fashion by a majority of the House against almost any president from the opposing party. He added, this notion is exactly what the framers sought to avoid, a decision to impeach based on the comparative strength of parties rather than on innocence or guilt. Dershowitz stressed that the duty of legislators in the House should be to support, defend, and apply the Constitution as written, not as it can be stretched to fit the actions of an opposition or unpopular president. He went on to contend that if the House votes to impeach, this was just the day before the impeachment on the articles, it should be declared void. Listen, he went on to contend that if the House votes to impeach on these articles, it should be declared void. Because, as Alexander Hamilton stated in Federalist Papers 78, no legislative act contrary to the Constitution can be considered valid, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what they'll do with that in the Senate. I don't know what the constitutional law advice will be to our president. I don't know how Mitch McConnell and the conservatives in the Senate is going to handle it. But I can tell you, based on the face of the fact that it is considered void because it is invalid constitutionally, I am of the opinion that the decision by the House should be vacated and considered void via the actions in the Senate, and if not there, an appeal for rapid understanding and decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, because I believe the U.S. House of Representatives have just traversed the law and have gone beyond their responsibilities and capabilities under the Constitution. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, to impeach a president that has done more for our constitutional liberties and the freedoms that we have in America than any other president in recent history. But it ought not to surprise us, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about whether the president has done anything wrong. It's a matter of the fact that the president went into office with the idea and the mandate from we the people, 63 million that voted for him, 304 electoral college votes. May I remind us, he went in on the mandate to drain the swamp, and he discovered there's a sewer. And in the process of draining the sewer, he has caused a lot of the House members on both sides of the aisle that's been caught with the hand in the cookie jar to realize that he is going to upset their apple cart of future ingratiating themselves to wealth as a result of the taxpayers in America. It's not just the president, ladies and gentlemen. It's not just Donald J. Trump. It's what Trump has done, what he stands for, and what his mission and goal and what he has attempted to do as the president. Here's the reason I say that. Proof positive, an article fresh off the press this morning. It says Waters, Maxine Waters, on Friday's broadcast of ABC's The View, Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, stated that after President Donald Trump is impeached, the Vice President Mike Pence won't be any better president than President Trump, and we should impeach him as well, end quote. So you see, it's not just the individual in the office. It's a matter of the animus that's against the president because of what he's doing to clean up the swamp and drain the sewer in the beltway called D.C. The socialist Marxist Democrats have pushed impeachment, ladies and gentlemen, even before President Trump was sworn into office. There was a mantra from this same U.S. House of Representative member, Maxine Waters. You've heard her say too many times, impeach 45, impeach 45. That's been the mantra and the goal. And that was taken up then by Nadler and by Schiff and by Nancy Pelosi. And I think, very frankly, ladies and gentlemen, based on the news conference that Pelosi had after the vote last evening, and it's replayed on the early morning news on Fox News, she is of the opinion that she can hold on to this impeachment rather than transmitting it on to the U.S. Senate for them to deliver a response. She's under the impression that she can hold on to that and continue to wave over the head of President Trump and allow the citizens in America to think somehow, some way, you ought not to vote for the president in the upcoming election because he's been impeached. Impeachment, ladies and gentlemen, in the House has not put the president out of office. And the impeachment has not yet been heard in the Senate. And I think that she's going to attempt to try to twist the rules and try to, in some way, because she already feels that she's a senator. She's not a senator, but she thinks she's in charge of the House and the Senate. And now I understand, and I've not heard the speech this morning that was supposed to go forth by Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer was going to make some kind of claim that somehow, some way, that the House needs to have control over what the Senate does. And it's protocol in handling the outcome of what's been done in the U.S. House of Representatives. But ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats have pushed the impeachment since before the president was ever sworn in, as I said. Yet all of the voices and votes for impeachment were talking about our founding fathers. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But ladies and gentlemen, they, each and every one, without an exception, all of the socialist Marxist Democrats, when they go to the microphone to give their input and cast their vote, they would remind the hearer of what our founding fathers would have done, what our founding fathers would have said, how our founding fathers would have responded, what our Constitution says, what our constitutional writers meant when they wrote the Constitution. All of these things, ladies and gentlemen, is just simply hollow, vacuous, void words in my ears, because they were talking about the founding fathers, quoting the founding fathers, quoting from the Constitution, as though their hair is on fire, screaming how our founding fathers would be turning over in their graves over what President Trump had done. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not what they believe about the Constitution. That is not how they have treated the Constitution. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats have trodden underfoot anything that would be called your constitutional rights and the remedies. And I believe as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we need to sit up, speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen. And most of all, when it comes to voting, ladies and gentlemen, do you realize in the 2016 election that put President Donald J. Trump in office, that 31 million Christians did not vote? 31 million Christians sat on their hands. 31 million Christians, many of whom are outraged today by what is taking place, but they didn't vote. I believe we need to have an awakening in the house of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. Need to have an awakening. Pastors need to get up off their hands and start speaking the truth in love and reminding our people in the pew that we have a responsibility before God as citizens in this world. I understand that the Bible says we're aliens just passing through this world, but our citizenship is in heaven. But while we're here on this earth, we have a responsibility to for our citizenship in America in particular, that we need to take a stand on what the Bible says, what the Constitution says, and we need to educate and inform listeners seated in the pews today to know how they ought to vote. Yeah, I understand some of these naysayers are saying, well, a pastor ought not to tell anybody how to vote. I don't mind that anytime, ladies and gentlemen. I believe it's the pastor's responsibility to research the candidates, research the positions of the candidates, research where they stand on godly things, spiritual things, moral, ethical, biblical things, and then recite that to the congregation and say, this is the candidate that stands against anything that the Word of God says. This is the candidate that stands for the Word of God, and this is how we ought to vote as Christians. I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, because it's founded in the Word of God, that we have that responsibility. And keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if our Constitution is destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, what are those that are spiritual people? How are we to live? What are we to do? How are we to respond? And I believe that we're in a position today, ladies and gentlemen, in this time, in this place, under these conditions in America, as never before, the Christian needs to speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. Because these socialist Marxist Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, in reality could care less about what our Constitution says. They, listen, it's these same socialist Marxist Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, that introduced and passed in the House 240 votes at House Bill 5. House Bill 5 called the Equality Act. House Bill 5 trodens underfoot anything that would be constitutional liberties and the freedom of speech and the religious liberties even codified in the First Amendment. It will make hate speech out of any mouth of any Christian, any church, any religious leader that would say anything about the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda in America. So they don't want anything to do with the Constitution. They want to destroy our freedom of speech and religious liberties as given in our First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. And yet they whine the fact and bewail the fact that somehow, some way, what President Trump has done has trodden underfoot our constitutional rights and liberties. And ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats, all, not a few, not some, but all, including Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and Jerry Nadler, and all of those that followed them like sheep blindfolded to the slaughter. I believe that they'll all be accountable before God for what they've done. And yet screaming with the hair on fire that we need to protect our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Marxist Democrats are pushing to cancel or to infringe on our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. In fact, that's one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that the, I don't know if you've been paying attention to very closely, but the National Guard now responding to the Democrat governor in the state of Virginia, where he's threatening to use the National Guard, ladies and gentlemen, to come against anyone with a weapon that wants to maintain ownership and control of keeping their own weapons. The Second Amendment right is at stake, ladies and gentlemen. And yet the governor of the state of Virginia is talking about calling out the National Guard to take the guns. Here's the article. Virginia National Guard responds to the Democrats threatened to use the soldiers to enforce gun control agenda. There are going to be consequences. The Virginia National Guard released a statement on Friday in response to questions about whether or not they could be deployed to enforce the Democratic lawmakers' gun control agenda in Virginia. We have received multiple questions regarding the proposed legislation for the 2020 General Assembly session and authority of the governor of Virginia to employ the Virginia National Guard in law enforcement role. Major General Timothy Williams, the adjunct general of the Virginia National Guard, said in a statement. We understand and respect the passion people feel for the U.S. Constitution and the Second Amendment right. We will not speculate about the possible use of the Virginia National Guard, he added. The Virginia National Guard was forced to respond after Representative Donald McKeon, Democrat of Virginia, suggested Thursday that Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, Democrat, could deploy the National Guard to enforce future gun control measures. Ultimately, I'm not the governor, he said, but the governor may have to nationalize the National Guard to enforce the law. That's his call, because I do not know how serious these counties are and how severe the violation of the law could be. But that's obviously an opinion that he has. The comments are made in response to, listen, these comments are made by the National Guard in response to 75 of the Virginia counties preemptively declaring themselves Second Amendment rights sanctuaries in anticipation of future gun control legislation in Virginia. Northam said on Wednesday that would not be retaliation against those counties but warned of serious consequences, he said. Quote, there's not going to be retaliation. That's not what I'm about. I'm about making Virginia safer, Northam said. If we have constitutional laws on the books and new enforcement law enforcement officers are not enforcing those laws on the books, then there are going to be consequences. But I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. And the question remains, could Northam legally use the Virginia National Guard to enforce gun control laws? And ladies and gentlemen, the answer to that is emphatically no. The doctrine of the posse comitatus, which simply means that National Guard, military, Army, Navy, et cetera, no military, dressed in uniform with a weapon on his side, can come against the citizens of the United States of America. It is illegal, unlawful, and cannot be done. But that is the flexing of the muscles by the rank liberal state now of Virginia under the leadership of the governor there, saying that somehow, some way they can confiscate the weapons. But ladies and gentlemen, that cannot be done, not on a legal basis. In fact, Northam is all scheduled and set to introduce the legislation starting in January of 2020, where he wants to literally confiscate all weapons. And he'll do that by registration. And by the register, he'll do that. First of all, it'll be incremental. He will introduce legislation that will be passed that will require the registration of all weapons, handguns, long guns, and every gun in between. And then he will know who has the guns, where they're located, in order to then start the active confiscation of weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, and join in this dialogue and discussion today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm using an elongated monologue to get to where I want to go in talking about Jesus and what Hollywood is doing in the face of every Christian in America today, the denigrative destruction and destructive attempt to tear down and destroy morals and ethics and values of our nation and our trust in Christ as Savior and as Lord. But wanting us to understand some things that are taking place that builds up to the crescendo that I call that moral ethical decline in America, where we're facing major enemies of the Satan and all of his demons to tear down and destroy the family and the future of America as we see it today. The Democrats screaming about the Second Amendment rights and how Donald Trump has somehow harmed the Constitution, that is, screaming about the Constitution and how Donald Trump has harmed the Constitution and undermined our founding fathers and what their intents were. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, they're the very ones that are out and out to destroy all that our Constitution stands for, and all that we have in our Bill of Rights. They have already destroyed our Fourth Amendment, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, our 14th Amendment. And it appears, ladies and gentlemen, until proven guilty, we're not innocent until proven guilty. We're guilty until proven innocent, is the mindset today, based on what they've done with the Fourth and the 14th Amendment, based on what we've seen in their going in and destroying the lawyer-client privilege that has always been historically there. They've destroyed that aspect, ladies and gentlemen. As one writer said, Obama spied on an opponent, the FBI lied, and then Trump is impeached. You hear that title? Obama spied on an opponent, and the FBI lied repeatedly, and Trump is being impeached. Here's the brief essence of the article. When President Trump first blew the whistle in a now famous 2017 tweet that misspelled the word tap on the previous administration, is the administration spying operation against his presidential campaign at the height of the election. Swamp creatures laughed, they ridiculed, they mocked. It was a lie, they said. Never happened, they said. And the gaslight media backed them up. They whitewashed the whole thing for their friends in the Obama administration and for their friends in the federal administrative state. The FBI spied on an official they believe, pretended to believe, was working inside the 2016 Trump administration campaign on behalf of the Russian government to hijack the election and install the Manchurian candidate who would give America a way to Moscow. Whatever you think of the former President Barack Obama, Mr. Trump or Carter Page or James B. Comey or anybody else's foreign policy opinion regarding Russia or NATO or Mexico, only one thing matters in this situation. At the moment these decisions were being made to spy on the Trump campaign, Mr. Obama was president. His administration was at the controls of one of the most sprawling and sophisticated espionage apparatuses ever assembled on planet Earth, end quote. And that's what we've seen today, ladies and gentlemen, in the attempt to put the president out of office. It is simply because of a hatred and an animus for one that has gone in, not accepting a paycheck. Every quarter when the paycheck is issued, it is endorsed and given to some organization that would be a beneficiary for those funds. President Donald J. Trump does not need the headaches. He does not need the ridicule. He does not need the heartaches. But I believe he's there as divinely instructed, as divinely intervened and placed there by Holy God for the benefit and the protection of we as believers in particular in the United States of America. If we are not aware of that, if we cannot see that, then I don't know what you're looking at or what you're watching. Most of the news today is deplorable. Most of the news today, you'll find a little glimmer of hope with the Fox News occasionally. They have declined majorly in the past 12 months in what they show and what they broadcast. I'm concerned about where we're going with that. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that this whole thing is a charade. This whole thing is a deflection to get our attention off what's really taking place in America. And what we really see, ladies and gentlemen, is what we ought to really be concerned about. Ladies and gentlemen, regardless of how dark and how dangerous and how devastating and discouraging this impeachment may seem to you, our world is in a much darker position. We should be concerned over the American demise. We should be concerned over what we see in the declension that's brought on and is emphasized and is illuminated by the socialist Marxist Democrats. But what should concern us even more, ladies and gentlemen, is the moral, ethical, spiritual decline in America. The moral, ethical, spiritual decline in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have watched it or not. I don't know if you understand it or not, but I want us to understand and recognize for the balance of this broadcast today, I want us to understand where the real problems are. The problem's not just in Washington. The problem's not just in the Beltway. The problem's not just with the socialist Marxist Democrats. The problem that we have in America is a deep, deep, deep spiritual decline, a demoralization of society, and a declension from all that God has in his word for us. And as a result of that, we're watching apostasy take place where there's a decline, a declension, a falling away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to frighten the socks off everyone listening, everyone under the sound of my voice, to understand what's happening in our world, and in particular in our part of the world called the United States of America. What should concern us even more than the decline and declension we see politically, what should concern us more than what we've seen in the impeachment process, what should concern us more than seeing our Constitution and our Bill of Rights being absolutely destroyed, what should concern us more than that is what we're seeing on the moral, ethical, spiritual decline in America. We're witnessing a greater and greater declension in our churches. Every mainline denomination today, ladies and gentlemen, have now embraced the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Apostasy has set in. Churches are watching the unprecedented decline in attendance in America. So what about this? What is causing it? What's bringing it about? What do we see as the root, rudimentary, fundamental, elemental problem that's causing the moral, ethical, spiritual decline in the United States of America? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a minute's break at the top of the hour for the news. Encourage you to hang on. Don't turn that dial. Stay tuned. We can complete this understanding today of Hollywood versus Jesus in this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.